Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices. Well, we're live. We're here at the HP Reviewers Workshop. I'm looking at the sign over there. And we're here with John Miletus. Thanks so much for taking some time to sit down.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, we're here for this device, and this is the Dragonfly Pro Chromebook. And I don't know that we've been as excited about a Chromebook
as
we are about this one. We are just very, very excited about this, and you're here to talk a little bit about that and share some of the collaboration that Google's had with HP on this device. You know, this we feel like, and we did a poll about this, we were just talking about this, of like, is the market ready? Like, you know, we had Pixelbook, we had some of these top end, like high-end devices, and now this is coming. What does this mean for Chrome OS and Chromebooks, and like, what's 2023 look like?
Yeah, I mean, this device, it's hands down my daily driver at this point, but it's not necessarily built for me. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, really targeting the freelancer market, huge segment and growing segment, and really the thing I'm most excited about this device is the partnership that we had with HP and Intel from day one, from a phone call that I had with John Groden from HP around how we're going to build this device.
I loved that little tidbit. It literally was a phone call. What did you say? You thought it was a spam call?
I thought it was a spam call. It was from Houston, Texas, and it was someone named John Groden at HP, who has now become one of my best friends, literally. And you know, we're here on Valentine's Day, and I'm with John Groden, not with my wife. In all honesty, it's just been a really, really close partnership from who we want to build the device for, what we want the device to look like, how it should perform. Mm-hmm. You know, we had some say in what went into the device from a physical perspective. They had some say in what the operating system, how it would meet the hardware in the middle. So we're really, really excited about it.
When we saw this device out in Vegas and got some hands-on time with it, one of the first things we noticed was just this, like, this fit and finish, right?
Like, I mean, it was immediate. As soon as you picked it up, it's like, you can feel it.
Like, you know, we Pixelbook Go. Yeah. You know, it's like
and Chromebook Pixel, I think, mm-hmm. too. It was kind of cool to see that shouted out today.
Yeah.
A little bit. Like, you know, that's, like, there's some lineage here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people that follow our site and YouTube channel, they just ask all the time. And so we end up asking all the time. Like, is there going to be another Pixelbook? You know, and I've even, you know, written and talked about this idea that it almost doesn't make sense. Like, until it's needed. Like, it's like the hero, you know, Chromebook that shows up when the market needs some sort of, like, guidance or whatever. And so it's been, you know, something that we've hoped would happen maybe through a manufacturer or something, or some sort of partnership or something. And it just feels like that's, like, you can pick it up and feel it. Like, mm-hmm. it's so bizarro. It's so hard to show on video or whatever.
That last little bit that just makes it something special.
Yeah, and this has got it.
Yeah.
Even just with a few more minutes of hands-on time today spent with it.
Yeah, no, and you're absolutely right. I mean, like, the as long as our OEM partners continue to build these awesome devices, we kind of call them hero devices, because mm-hmm. typically they're stretching either from a physical perspective or from a software perspective, they're stretching what's possible on a Chromebook. Mm-hmm. And we love this. We love this stuff, and love working with our partners on.
Yeah. We were speculating. I mean, we assumed that there was a very close collaboration, but you said, like, you all really did work very closely with HP on this. And HP, you know, in the presentation today, talked a little bit about how, you know, almost trying to kind of meld the teams and work together on this device. Let's kind of switch gears here for a little bit and talk, like, what is 2023 looking like? And when you all were, you know, obviously we came through the pandemic, there was so much that we just had to do during the pandemic, get features out that were just, people needed to, you know, whether it was meet or whatever, things that you had to focus on to get done. Now that we're maybe settling in a little bit into whatever the new normal is, like, what are the next big things for Chrome OS?
Yeah.
We figured you're the best person to ask about this.
Hope, and I better have an answer, right?
Yeah.
I, you know, in order to kind of talk about what's coming, I think it's important to talk about from where we've come. And there's, you know, kind of going back 2 years ago, we made a decision on the team that that we were going to reserve a portion of our investment towards what we would call kind of breakthrough technologies, new innovations. And I can go into what those were back then. You're now starting to see those things play out, those investments play out. And so these were things like, at the time we called it cross device. It was from Chromebook to Android. Now it's called Better Together, and it's a bigger story across Google and across our ecosystem. And so you've seen a lot of those launches come out, and plenty more. I don't think we'll ever be done with the Better Together strategy. I hope not. Then another one was one that we called Always Connected. And so that's where you're starting to see and have seen more of an emergence of LTE-based devices, better handoff between tethering, more kind of dynamic connection to Wi-Fi networks that you may be around. Gaming was another investment that we made. And this one is really three-pronged. It's optimizing the experience of Android games on a Chromebook. It's cloud gaming. And then also Steam gaming. And so Steam is still in beta. The cloud gaming launch that we had last year was incredibly exciting. So I'm really excited about continuing that evolution. Then there was a bucket around what we called productivity. And so that's where you know, things like Tote or you know, a lot of different experiences to really remove the number of clicks that are required to perform a task. So we spent a lot of time on that. At the end of the day, productivity is really important here. So yeah, just a ton of those things, and you're just starting to see the beginning of them, and we're continuing to invest in those.
You mentioned gaming, and we saw some promotions, some even TV spots around that. With a device like this, and where like what's the message now with Chrome OS? Like, you know, we've always heard the, you know, speed, simplicity, and security. We feel like Chrome OS is evolving and maturing in a way. You know, what's kind of that new message? What do you, for somebody that's watching this who's interested in Chromebooks, or it's some of our folks who have already bought Chromebooks, like, what is the message? What are we trying to get done on these devices these days?
I mean, everything does start with speed, simplicity, and security for us. That has really, for us, become like no-brainer table stakes for us.
It's the foundation,
the foundation, and like we will never compromise on those things. But then you think about gaming, and that's where we feel like, it's an enormous market. So millions of people like to game on their laptop form factor. We're just trying to take a more unique approach to it, and that's where we can leverage Android games optimized for a Chromebook. But then I'm ecstatic about cloud gaming. Like, I think it's going to take some time for it to continue to play out. And you know, this is my opinion, but you kind of think about how what Netflix did for streaming movies, what Spotify has done for streaming music. We're starting to see that in cloud gaming, but each one of those curves was shorter to take off, and I think cloud gaming will be shorter than those other two as well. But you know, back to your question, like, what does it mean for Chrome OS and for Chromebooks? It means that you can get stuff done on a device that a lot of people didn't think you could in the past. You know, there's another aspect where, you know, our strength in education is something we're very proud of and continue to invest a lot in. It also has it's a little bit of a double-edged sword because, you know, people think that that's all the Chromebook is good for. And those are special purpose devices, oftentimes for good reason. School admins are locking down the experiences, again, for good reason. But then, you know, the student, the user thinks that's all that's possible. Right. And so explorations like cloud gaming and really building that into a core competency are ways for us to not only help our users, but also prove to the world that we're way more than what people think.
Yeah. So are you starting to see now, like thinking about that whole evolution? Because, you know, my kids use Chromebooks in school, and I know the Chromebooks they use. And so I know a bit about them, and you know, realizing that some of these kids, when you start thinking about the timeline now, probably are in high school, probably early high school, that have always used Chromebooks. Like, that's what they know.
And like, for computing, they know Chrome OS.
Right, so like, you know, like I think about when, you know, coming up, being, you know, I'm in my 40s, and, you know, we had early on, what was it, the Apple, the ones with the green and black screen, the big block.
Oh, yeah, the big block.
What were those things? I don't know.
The 2E or
something like that. Yeah. There was a 2 in it or something. Yeah. You know, I remember being on those and then not moving to Windows devices probably until middle school or something like that. And then, but middle school through high school, writing papers and doing all the stuff that you do on a computer was Windows. And so there wasn't even a thought, especially as a young person, when I need a computer for either college or, you know, I'm an adult now, he's going to go buy a Windows laptop. That's just what I did. And so we're getting close, right, to the point where some of these kids that have been groomed on Chrome OS, not just for a couple years and then they're out and, you know, because those kids probably got a Chromebook and were like, ugh, and moved on.
Yeah, right. You know,
but these kids that, like my kids, they don't really think about that. Like, we don't have Windows devices in our house. Like, it's Chromebooks. Everybody's got a Chromebook in our house, you know. And so, like, is that part of some of this transition now of moving? Like, this device feels like a clear call, almost, like, we're looking at the consumer market now.
Even like, it's like this prosumer device.
Yeah,
even.
We're not, because we went through a period of like 2 years. So that's a long-winded question. We went through a period of like 2 years where we were getting high-end Chromebooks.
Yeah.
I mean, the Dragonfly that preceded this one.
Yeah.
It was a great Chromebook. But it was never marketed to like normal people.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden it's like, okay, now we're going to get some nice Chromebooks back for consumers again. Mm-hmm. And so like that feels like some sort of targeted thing towards, okay, now these kids are coming out. They only know Chromebooks. Like, is it time now to like, okay, we've got to figure this part of the equation out.
Compete in the consumer space. Yeah.
I think there are a few things going on right now that that really tell me that the time is now for a consumer, and we've been in the consumer space for quite a while now. But if you just think about what you can get done on a Chromebook these days versus what it was 2-3 years ago, and part of that is stuff that we've done, but there's also a lot that is just happening in the world today. Like, any major app developer that I talk to, they're not building Win32 apps. Like, they're building apps for the web and really stressing what is possible through a browser or through a PWA across the board. Mm-hmm. And then you take with that the fact that you know, a lot of people are now very well attuned to using mobile applications.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And again, that's something that have been really excited about, and bringing Android apps to Chromebooks, and increasingly app developers saying, okay, there is a market here, I need to optimize my app, whether it's an Android app or a browser-based app. What our job with the OS is to make sure that the user doesn't need to understand what that underlying technology is, or throw in a Linux app as well. Like, just, they want an app. They want to be able to get something done. And so I think that's, you know, going back to your question, now a long-winded answer to your long-winded question, is like there's just a lot, like a confluence of events going on right now in the space that tells me that that we're really well positioned.
Yeah. So when you all are thinking about this device and maybe just Chrome OS in general, getting things done, right? You know, the whole kind of freelance, you know, folks creating content, whether it's for a birthday party or for whatever. What are some of those kind of those big bucket areas that you all were looking at and trying to find and make sure that there were solutions for those?
Like,
obviously, like, video editing and LumaFusion, for me being the video guy, like, is super exciting. But how were you all thinking about that, and how were you all working with these developers to like make sure that it's optimized, or were you at all?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it really goes back to kind of understanding the key use cases that you may go through, or freelancer may go through. But then you think about all of the technologies that exist in say a Chromebook, and the confluence of events we were just talking about, you then have these different pieces that you can use to put together a puzzle. And so, like, the hero use case for me, you know, to kind of directly answer your question, is you've got your phone, ideally it's a Pixel phone, any Android phone, You take a photo or video from it through the phone hub. It shows up in your camera roll. You've got it right there. That's when you need to start editing. You start need to start doing some more productive work against it beyond just taking the picture. That's where you've got a product like LumaFusion. And so a lot of work with app developers to make sure that once that they receive the content, that you can actually see it quickly and you can act on it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a lot of freelancer workflows are around document generation, signing documents. And so one of the things that you'll see is, and you've all seen, is an ability to sign documents, which had been a major pain point on a Chromebook, mm-hmm. But no longer. And so a lot of markup technologies on those documents. And so you just kind of look at all of those use cases for a freelancer or anyone really, and now we've got the building blocks that you can stitch together.
Yeah. What about Microsoft? And Microsoft Word and their suite of products. You know, yeah. we saw the announcement recently that Google is working with Microsoft or however that's working in the back end to make sure that, you know, if you have a Word document or if you're in, you know, Excel all the time, that mm-hmm. it can maybe work better on a Chromebook. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think given Chrome OS is a product, an operating system within Google. I think oftentimes people think that we only want people to use our other products, like Workspace. Sure. The reality is we are productivity software agnostic. And so Office is a great product. I grew up using it. I use Workspace now, but it's a great product, and I would never say otherwise. I think what I'm seeing is like a shift towards web for Office, which I think is awesome.
Good for their users if they're using it on Windows or whatever. Yeah.
And so what our role is to make sure that we're meeting users where they are. Mm-hmm. And if that is Office, then we want to make sure that they have a great experience. I think there's also been I'm not just talking about Office, but a lot of products that you know had been natively developed, say Win32 applications. I think a lot of users, and we're not talking about you know some of the kids that you've talked about who grew up on the web. Mm-hmm. A lot of users have been trained to download and install software and save my files locally.
Yep.
And so that's where I get pretty excited about things like PWAs, where you download, install. It's a browser, but it's
it's packaged.
Yeah, and so, but that's great because you get the feeling, shows up in your app drawer on the shelf, but then you also, you get the beauty and the goodness of web development, of constant upgrades, updates, and you don't need to update your software because it's updating in the cloud.
Right. Yeah, we've been preaching that gospel for a long time now.
And I wonder too, if eventually, like, I don't know, I get the feeling that as probably the next generation kind of moves into the workforce, that some of that friction will go away.
Yeah, because like, they're going to expect it. They're like, what do you mean I can only get that stuff on that device that's in the office?
That's silly.
Like, that's
silly.
Makes sense.
Like,
that's,
I'll kind of watch my kids do stuff, compute-wise, and see them just natively and instinctively just go to a web-based thing first, mm-hmm. not really think anything of it. And I'm, obviously we've been in the weeds of this for a long time. And so, like, I've even gotten to the point where, I can install Gmail on my mm-hmm. Chromebook and have it pop up in a window. I just don't care to.
Yeah.
Like,
I'd
why
would
I bother? I can just, it's shortcutted. You know, I could start, I type GM and boom, click
right
it. I'm done and I close the tab, Like, I used to kind of get, because we grew up with download, and I'd go mm-hmm. to Walmart and buy my copy of Microsoft mm-hmm. Word, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so, I'm fully out of that now. And so anything mm-hmm. that's on the web, I used to think, like, oh, I wish it was a PWA, or, because now you can obviously create a shortcut and window it and whatever if you want, for certain things. But ultimately, it's just like, it's so much more frictionless mm-hmm. if you just kind of embrace the fact that that application, that service, that thing I need to do, is just add a URL now.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Like, it really is okay for that to be the thing. And I'm hoping, I don't know if there's any way for you to track that usage or anything, that eventually over time, even if, I feel like PWAs are like hand-holding mm-hmm. a little bit, mm-hmm. Packaging in that way, not the application itself, but there's a little bit of hand-holding of like, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. We'll still install it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, eventually, hopefully, don't you? Do you all see a future, I guess, where people are just like, hey, it's fine. We don't have to do that. We'll just go to the URL.
Yeah, and I actually think that a lot of the use cases within the apps themselves are predetermining that outcome. Because, like, what we hear a lot from, you know, because we spend a lot of time understanding application usage and, you know, looking at some of the legacy software, installed software. And one of the key things that always comes up when you have a user who is used to the web using using, you know, kind of natively installed software is like, great, how do I collaborate with someone on this? Like, where do I add comments?
Right.
And like, and then and then you're like, well, you can't here. Yeah. Like that's you're used to commenting in Google Docs and commenting in Google spreadsheets and you're used to collaborating on a Google presentation together. You can't do that, those types of things natively, at least very easily. But I think that's where the user is demanding that. And so I think I'm excited to see a lot of these incredible software application developers moving to the web for a lot of those reasons.
Yeah, it's just like go to the URL, click the button, and start working. Like and what's so funny is like it feels like it's this huge circular move to get back to where I think Chrome OS started in the beginning of just like all you need is the web.
Yeah,
and people just were not ready for that.
Yeah,
not
it's
at
like
all.
It's like we have some like the OS has evolved and it's like people are adding, especially on this 4-week cycle now, where it's just like this iterative like improvements, right? And like the basics are all there now, and so it's like now we can get back to, you know, the core of the web, right?
Yeah.
I thought of one other question about this device, and this is kind of big picture Chrome OS. Market, right, for consumers. Do you all want other manufacturers to kind of like follow this lead? Is, you know, because obviously Pixelbook is that lighthouse device. You all put that out as Google to say, hey, look, this is what a Chromebook can be and can look like. Mm-hmm. You all partnering with HP on this, is it kind of the same idea, right? Because you refer to it as that hero device. Mm-hmm. You know, is this a statement that, look, the market has evolved and these devices can be in the market and hopefully be successful.
Yeah, and I think it's, and so we love working on these devices with our partners, again, because it can show what is possible and it stretches us to collectively do things differently. I think it's also a realization that, you know, a customer, whether it's, you know, a consumer or an employee at a company, freelancer, I believe they don't buy hardware, they don't buy software, they buy experiences. And so how do you deliver the physicality and the software in one? I think it really requires partnering very closely and bringing the best of like your core competency. Like at Google, our core competency is software and services. We've got some incredible hardware engineers working on Chrome OS as well. But then if you think about one of our OEM partners, they're incredible at building beautiful devices, industrial design, they've got great distribution. And so when you marry all of those things together, you come up with an experience that I think customers are gonna love.
Yeah, and we've always said, like, people don't, from kind of a big picture look at this, like, the market had to evolve to a point where it maybe during the pandemic, somebody went and bought a Chromebook that was a cheap Chromebook just because they had to have something. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh wow, like, I can do all my stuff on this, and they don't care necessarily where the app's coming from, whether it's a PWA or this or that.
Right.
They just need their stuff.
Yeah,
that's how we always refer to it. Like, they just need their stuff, and they realize, oh wow, I can use this device and get all my stuff done.
Yeah,
and now I want that extra nice premium device that, you know, is aesthetically pleasing and has this incredible construction. So, we're very excited about this. We're very excited about the future of Chrome OS, and we appreciate you sitting down and chatting with us. This
my
has been great.
Pleasure.
It's always
my pleasure.
Fun to sit and chat with you. It's the first time in person.
First time in person, I know.
Face to face.
We did it over, like we, during the height of the pandemic over VC.
Was it latest? It's our very first interview.
Google,
we did
like...
Yeah, our first,
first interview, too. Yeah.
You're just a recurring guest
at
this point.
Anytime. I love this stuff.
Yeah,
so
we appreciate it. Thanks for taking some time.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunbox.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunbox.com, and follow us on social media by searching for @ChromeUnboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.